Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle. I'm your host, Joshua Smith. Hope everyone's having a wonderful... Is it Thursday?
It's a Thursday.
Thursday.
It is Thursday.
We only do this show on Thursday now.
Like, right. We only do the show on Thursday
now. How do you keep getting confused?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Because we used... Bro, you got to understand. At one point, I was doing the show Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Every single night. And there was nights I did Tuesday, Thursday. There was ones where I did... was it Monday and Thursday? And there was Tuesday and Thursday. I think we're going to be consistent on Thursdays.
Your inconsistency is consistent.
Yes. I am. If there's anything consistent about the show, it's my inconsistency. And I apologize to everybody who watched the show consistently for my inconsistency. We were going to do a show last week with my mom, but my mom flew in, and then there was just all kinds of drama. So we didn't end up getting to do the show with my mom. And I was at the airport trying to yell at the car people to give her a bigger car because they gave her too small of a car for the trip that we were all going on. And it was a madhouse, so had to cancel it. But, you know, life goes on. Before we go too far, of course, let's talk about some sponsors. We've got TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great Break the Cycle 100th episode anniversary shirt that has every single hand-drawn logo and face that he did for all the first 100 shows. I think it's still up at his website. You can get that for a 10% discount by using BTC at checkout. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, start, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of my videos by hitting the join link, where you can get into a private Discord server and get all of Top Lobster's new gear 2 weeks before it goes to the general public at a 30% discount. If he ever puts any new shit out. Where you at, Top? Put out some new shit, bro. We're waiting.
Fresh shirts. Pick them up.
Pick them up now. Good stuff. Of course, Ryan's also wearing one of his wonderful shirts tonight, that Break the Cycle logo, the Sundown logo. You can't beat that. And of course, Peace Hawk Coffee. With this small coffee roasting business, Peace Hawk will sell delicious micro-batched roasted coffee online while donating at least $1 of every pound sold to worthy foreign aid organizations like Yemen Relief and Reconstruction Foundation, who has expressed support for this project. While our initial focus will be on Yemen Ethiopian coffee, we also have some affordable Central American varieties available too. However, Peace Hawk will always donate at least $1 from every pound sold to worthy foreign aid organizations. When you buy Peace Hawk coffee, you're not only buying great coffee, you have a chance to support the economies of countries struggling against the effects of war, support stellar private aid foundations doing life-saving work abroad, support stateside peace activists like myself, my friend Will Hobson, who started this wonderful company, and all the people that have pretty much ever been on my show. The name Peace Hawk will be the counter to the war hawk who is aggressively pro-war. This company will be aggressively pro-peace. Sign up for the email list today at peacehawk.coffee to get all the updates on that wonderful, wonderful place and all the good work that they're doing. Let's check in with my two wonderful co-hosts. Of course, we got Mr. Ryan Kurt. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I realized it has been quite some time since I have asked the chat for a specific favor that I like to ask for. So can we get some yep cocks in the chat?
This man just wants one yep cocks to satisfy him tonight. If you could drop some yep cocks in the chat for our good friend Ryan.
Please.
He hasn't got any in a while. And of course, our other good friend, who's probably on the run from the authority somewhere in this world, Mr. AJ, sir, how are you doing tonight?
Probably. good evening. Feeling amazing. I had a week off on vacation.
You had a week off too, huh?
I got centered.
You found your peace. I like that, dude. I also, today's my last day of 7 days off in a row. And I thought, I have so much shit that I need to get done, dude. Like, so much shit that I need to get done. And I was like, I'm going to get it all done. That was not the case.
No.
It was actually harder on my days off to get shit done. So if you're watching this, if you're my friend Dave Benner, I promise you the book is coming, dude. I promise it's coming soon. I have just been lagging hella hard, obviously I had the mental health shit, then I had the 7 days off thinking I was going to get it all uploaded and it didn't work out. And so hopefully by the end of next week, we'll have a bunch of shit uploaded. And you guys can all go read his wonderful book and my voice if you'd like. I think it's going to be good. It took me a lot longer to produce than I thought it would. It's not easy to produce an audio book by yourself when you're not an audio, producer. Very hard. I learned a lot though. A fucking lot.
How much editing?
So much editing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, dude, if I could just read the book, right, into the mic and then pass it off to somebody else, it would have taken me 4 days. Honest to God. But I had to read, and then I'd mess up because there's a bunch of French words and shit in there, you know what I mean? Which are not easy for a guy who hates the French to pronounce.
Yeah, isn't this... We're talking about kind of a technical book.
Right? It's very technical. Benner is a... Like, my friend David Benner is an amazing fucking writer, dude. And I knew he was a good writer because I had read his his book before this. I had no idea the depths of his intelligence until I started really getting into this book. And I'm like, wow, dude, this guy, I think he said he studied all the shit, like all the paperwork and documents and all the stories and stuff for like 4 years before even writing the book. And it's, I mean, he's basically, when it comes to our founding fathers of this great country, he is Scott Horton. I mean, he's the guy, he's the Rolodex. And, so I'm excited to get the book out, and hopefully Dave doesn't shoot me for taking so long.
We'll get him on the show too.
Yeah. Well, he's been on the show a few times, and he did come on the show right after he put this book out to promote the book. That was before you, showed up on the couch and never left. So we should have him back on. Once I get the audio done for the book, I'll have Dave back on and we'll talk about it, but I just need to get it done and stop dicking around. And I love the guy to death. I feel bad. Guys, we got to talk about some shit today, man. It's been a wild couple weeks, and we haven't done a show in been a week, 2 weeks, 2 weeks since we've done a show. And I'm sure people are like, "Where you been at, dude? Where you been at?" Oh, we got screwed up rebellion. Oh, we may get some cool trolls in the chat tonight because we named our episode after Nina Turner. Which, by the way, if we're talking about Turners, her albums suck compared to Frank Turner, in case you were wondering. Frank Turner's definitely the better Turner in musically.
Nina Turner's better as well.
Not than Frank Turner, though. Frank Turner also smokes
better
Nina
than
Turner.
Nina Turner.
Yeah, sure. Everybody's better than Nina Turner. So recently, my good friends over at the LPNH, which, listen, I am done with the Libertarian Party. Anybody who knows me knows that. I'm done. Although, I do have three or four different caucuses and a couple of different people coming to me saying, "Hey, you need to run for president."
Ooh.
Which I thought was hilarious. I don't hate myself that much, but I've thrown it around. I've thrown around the idea of doing it for the emo caucus just because I love those guys. You know, there's no drama in the emo caucus, dude. And I am an elder emo. There's no doubt about that. That's awesome. I've been around for a long time. But I'm done with the LP. I am. But my favorite Twitter of all the LPs is no doubt the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, because I am at the same level politically that they are at. I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want to say. And hopefully it offends you enough to listen to the important shit, right? Like, I no longer care at all about who I offend. I no longer care about the constant ring of people who do nothing, absolutely fucking nothing, to further our goals in society. You know, the liberal caucus, whatever the fuck, the classical liberal caucus, the Prags, all these guys that want to fucking whine about this shit. Like, I don't care about them at all. And I think that a lot of people, you know, when I left the Libertarian Party, when I resigned my role as the vice chair of the National Party, I think a lot of those guys were like, "Good for you, Josh. Good job, dude. You know, you're right. You don't want to be a part of that shit." And it's like, "Nah, dude, fuck you too." You know what I mean? Like, like, I'm not your friend either, dude. I don't give a fuck about you. I hated you for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Right. Now, and when it comes to the caucus, you know, the Mises caucus, I think that there's a lot of really good people there in the caucus. And I think that if that party was ever going to succeed, it would be somewhere within that caucus. I don't think it's doing it right now. I just don't. I don't think it's doing what it was designed to do. I think that after we finally took the whole party over, it just kind of plateaued. And I'm very happy to not be a part of it anymore. I really do, dude. I can't tell you enough how much less anxiety I have, how much less stress there is on me, how I can actually spend days enjoying my family and my kids and not having to worry about this constant fucking drama, dude. Right? That being said, the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire is a different beast. They're a completely different beast entirely. And they go after people and they talk a bunch of shit and they say things that are physically jarring to people. And I appreciate that. I wish more people would do that. But recently they said they quote tweeted Nina Turner, who is a run-of-the-mill progressive race hustler. She's constantly rallying behind the causes of free healthcare and free college and reparations.
It's like if you programmed Bernie Sanders to only spit out slogans.
Right. Yes. All the things.
Her Wikipedia page says progressive, far left, Democratic socialist.
Right. And so she's your run of the mill progressive, but she does race hustles a lot. But she's all, every post she posts is about free shit. It always is. And so the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, quote tweeted Nina Turner with, her saying that, what was it? Healthcare should be free.
Insulin should be free.
Insulin should be free. Right.
Yes.
And LPNH quote tweeted with, Nina Turner, picking crops should be free.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of us understood that right away.
Yep.
And we didn't take it as a racist thing. Okay. I think that LPNH, whoever did post the tweet, I know who runs those Twitters. They're my friends. I love those guys, dude. All the people that have run that Twitter for the last 3 years are some of my favorite people in the party, right? Reed, Eric, all these people that have run it before, may not run it now. Jeremy Kaufman, who I love to death.
I love Jeremy.
He's one of my favorite people in the world. Nobody is more jarring and nice than Jeremy Kaufman.
I tell Jeremy consistently, I want to be you when I grow up.
Yes, dude. We all, anybody who cares wants to be Jeremy when they grow up. Thanks for the $5 super chat level. We appreciate you, man. Level zero, he said he fully supports the NHLP calling out bullcrap. So do I. Now, I think that they worded it, you know, picking crops purposely to not say what would have sounded much more bigoted by saying picking cotton.
Oh, right.
Right. Obviously crops could be any kind of vegetable. And this is we got into the same argument when they brought up the what was it? The 6,000 tweet or whatever, or the 6 million
minimum wage should be 6 million.
It should be 6 million. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Okay. It was like, look, dude, they're taking an issue that everybody is constantly fucking mad about, right? Like slavery or the Holocaust or any of that shit, and throwing it back on the people who are constantly offended about those things, right? It wasn't like they did it from a bigoted space. They did it from a, how do you feel saying that this should be free, right? Because who's paying for the insulin, dude?
Yeah.
Exactly. Who's paying for the fucking insulin?
Us.
Well, someone is paying for the insulin.
And they think it should be the rich or whatever.
It should be the billionaires. The billionaires should pay for it.
Yeah, the billionaires should
pay. They have plenty of money.
Yeah. And so they're taking a very offensive thing that offends everybody and using it to show their own hypocrisy. Okay, it's not coming from a bigoted place. I know these people, they're not bigoted at all. Fucking at all. Reed might as well be a fucking hippie. Okay. And then Jeremy Kaufman. I don't know if any of these people who hate Jeremy Kaufman have ever met Jeremy Kaufman in person. He's literally like the most down to earth, nicest, least racist, like least bigoted fucking person, dude. And he actually supports a bunch of their same causes. Shit that I can't even get on board with. Right. And so Nina Turner, like this Nina Turner picking crops thing. Okay, was meant to be offensive. It was meant to offend you.
In the same way that they were offending with their language.
Right.
In the same way.
It was meant to be offensive.
It was meant to offend people that wouldn't be able to tell you how they would feel if they didn't have breakfast.
Right. No, that's okay. And so Maj Ture, who's been a great friend of the show, who's been a good friend of mine for quite some time. I love Maj, dude. I do. Mm. I don't agree with Maj on a lot. And I think he loses his shit over things that really he just shouldn't care about.
Provocative things.
Yeah, provocative things. Provocative sure. Things. Sure. But he, I'll tell you, Maj is really good at what he does, dude. But he does get into these fucking like skirmishes over race shit all the time. It happened with the reparation stuff. It happened with this Nita Turner tweet. It's happened several times. This is the first time this has happened, right? And he doesn't like it when this side of the aisle criticize him for talking about those things or for getting upset about those things. But he's got to understand that to work both sides like he wants to do, you have to be able to respond to both sides. And so, yes, the whole thing about him asking like a question that had nothing to do with the issue instead of answering the question, how is it bigoted?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeremy responding with, let me ask you this, Maj, what did you eat for breakfast?
I've got a group chat with like half a dozen viewers that has been a big joke between us, the breakfast question for like 2 weeks now, and Jeremy just brought it from the top rope, and it was incredible.
Jesus, dude.
But I did eat breakfast.
Did you? I never eat breakfast. Who the fuck has time for breakfast?
But bro? I did eat breakfast. How would I?
Who the fuck has time for breakfast, bro? You have time for breakfast?
I have to eat it, otherwise my stomach will get.
I ate breakfast on vacation. I had some breakfast.
Yes, I eat breakfast on vacation eggs. For sure. But like working men don't eat breakfast, bro. We don't.
No.
I have a protein bar. Okay, that's my breakfast.
That's yeah, like all the other gay women. Good job, bro. I appreciate it.
No, I'm fasting.
Yeah, you fast at night, dude. All the time, constantly.
Yeah,
that's crazy, dude.
It's from two to eight. I'm at 2 to 8 right now.
Really? I can't do it, bro. So you eat after you go home then from the show?
Well, sometimes, but usually not. Usually I have dinner before and then that's it. I might eat something later.
Like, that story about your lost steak, what time did that happen today?
Oh, yeah, tonight. Yeah, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. I only eat 2 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Oh, you only eat then?
Yeah. I went off that diet for vacation, obviously, because we were kids and there's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I gained 6 pounds back very quickly.
Yeah, that's what the thing that scares me about fasting is like everybody who does this intermittent fasting, as soon as they stop fasting, they gain a bunch of weight back.
That's true. It's more of a lifestyle thing. Yeah. So like the window is small, like when you're actually trying to cut down, but you kind of learn that really the best thing is to have a window. It's really the best way for your body to like consume calories. If you're constantly just taking calories in, that's where you're lethargic and you can't break everything down. Your system's constantly having to burn something. It's more cyclical if you sit down and eat a big meal and
wait. People like take in calories,
bro.
Bro, you didn't know that?
No.
Constantly.
What?
Never stop.
Yes.
What the hell are people doing?
It's the American lifestyle.
It's the American way, dude. We sat next to our M16s.
Yo, we got AR-15s. So much fucking food.
What?
We're throwing it away, bro.
We sit around and eat it.
24/7.
You could eat never every second and never run out of food.
Yeah. Sorry to Africa.
Nom, nom, nom.
Listen, dude, I don't know. What's your thoughts on this thing, Ryan? Because I know when we first started the show with you as the co-host, we started it over the LPNH
That's the only thing LPNH has tweeted out that I've really taken issue with, because I think mocking someone for grieving the loss of a loved one is a line that...
So you still haven't changed. We're not allowed to make fun of Sarah McCain.
You can make fun of her in...
And we're not allowed
Meghan
to dance.
McCain,
we're not,
but
Meghan
in any
McCain,
other
yeah,
context.
That's what I'm
saying. In any other context.
So we can't,
like, I would
so
be
we can't dance
it.
On John McCain's grave? You still believe that?
I mean, I don't think you should make fun of someone for
I thought we
their
radicalized
dreaming.
You way harder, dude.
But everything else that LPNH has tweeted out, I've been fine with. That's been the one thing I've taken issue
John
with.
John McCain dying made the world like 16 to 28% more safe. And fuck his daughter too.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, my grandma's a horrible person. and when she dies,
was your grandma responsible for the deaths of 100,000 Iraqi children?
Did she order
Maybe.
The deaths?
No,
I doubt it. But my grandma's just kind of an awful person, and
sure.
When she dies, my mom will be very upset.
Right.
Even though. The terrible person.
And if your grandma had been responsible for the needless slaughter of hundreds of thousands of children in Iraq and the Middle East, I would tell your mom, I would laugh at your mom while she's crying.
And I would hit you for that.
Don't care.
I would, like, you would never see me so angry. If you did that to my mom,
right.
I would make you pay for it.
But this is all rhetorical.
Way.
If your grandmother had been responsible for the death, the needless slaughter of hundreds of thousands of children, fuck your whole family. I mean, that's just really where we're at. Fuck your whole family. Fuck everything all your homeboys died for. Like, all of it.
Whoa.
All of it, dude. All of it. I hope you die in a fire. Like, that's literally how I would feel about your whole family. Because your family was responsible for the deaths, needless slaughter. I keep saying deaths. Needless slaughter of hundreds of thousands of children. And your family is an evil curse on this world, and you should all be mocked in eternity.
Period. It's getting heated in here.
That's because the AC is broken.
Yeah.
The AC is broken and it's getting heated.
Well, you don't necessarily carry the sins of your parents.
Sure you do.
No, you don't.
Generational curses, bro. Yeah, sure you do. Generational curses. Here's the deal, bro. If Meghan McCain had said, I disavow all of the things that my father has done to needlessly slaughter hundreds of thousands of children in the Middle East and Iraq, I'd be like, you know what? Meghan McCain's pretty cool, bro. Cool. Fuck it, right? But she hasn't. She has supported and backed all of the same policy that her father did. She has applauded her father as a hero for all of the stuff that he did in the Middle East and all of the bomb Iran shit. Okay? Fuck her. She deserves to be mocked. Her pain deserves to be mocked until she understands the pain that she and her family have inflicted on the earth as a whole. Period. If she had come out against the policies of her father, okay, then she's not carrying the sins of her father, but she's a generational curse, dude. She is the same thing as John McCain. And when she's as old as John McCain was, she'll be in those same fucking positions of power to have the same finger on the same buttons for the same fucking policies that John McCain spread. So she deserves to be mocked. She needs to be a joke. And by the time she's old enough to be in those positions, she should be such a fucking joke to everyone that she's a meme and nothing else. Period. And LPNH understands that.
I agree with you. I don't think that did that effectively.
What's that?
I don't think that tweet did that effectively.
I think it did. If you go back to those tweets and you read the comments, there was 70 to 80% of the people were in support of that meme. Easily. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't get. All these people that re about the LPNH, go read the fucking threads. It's always the same 25, 35 people that are upset about those things. And then all of the other people are like, based. That's fucking base, dude. That's good. We finally have someone that's not a Republican or a Democrat saying these things that we've been saying for fucking years. Finally. It's good. And I will continue to argue that it's good. And I wish that all of the Mises Caucus-backed state affiliates had done what they did. Because right now, it would be a fucking network of based motherfuckers running a political party, not giving a fuck who they offend, and getting shit done. But that's not what happened. And that's why I left. So to the people on my side that were upset that I left, that's why I left. Because I don't think it went far enough. I don't think it even got close to far enough. In fact, I think the plateau that we hit missed the mark by hundreds and hundreds of miles. To the people who applauded me for leaving on the other side, fuck you too. Seriously. Like, I don't need you, motherfuckers. I don't need you. Don't come in my DMs telling me, oh, you did really good. No, I don't like you. I'm not your friend. I think the Nita Turner tweet was great.
I think
John McCain tweets were great.
That's where we will always disagree.
I think that the minimum wage should be 6 million tweet was amazing.
That one was
I think those were all great. Funny. And if there's only two reasons that you can't understand what those tweets mean. Not the McCain tweet, but the 6 mm-hmm. million tweet and the fucking Nina Turner tweet. There's only two reasons that you can't understand those. Either A, you are fucking blinded entirely by your own woke bullshit that you can't understand what they were meant to do, or B, you're a fucking liar. That's the only two outcomes, dude. That's it. And when I see the same people that are getting mad about these tweets, I know who they are. I've known who they were for years and years and years and years. Now I understand Maj is upset about it, right? Maj gets, like I said, he gets way too entrenched in these racial politics.
Agree.
It happens often with Maj. Doesn't mean I hate Maj. I still like Maj. Me and Maj get along just fine. Okay. And that may make some other people mad. I think that Maj, I don't believe that Maj is just a race grifter, as I've seen some people calling him in tweets. I don't think that. I think that he genuinely cares about trying to bring some liberty-based policy to the inner cities, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is while noble, I think it's a lost cause. I really do.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, dude. The big cities are done, bro. All the big, especially the big cities on the coast and Chicago, they're done, dude.
Well, all they're done. They'll all always of the be big done. Cities,
irreversible damage.
All of the big cities anymore in the United States essentially have a monoculture, and that monoculture is just toxic, soul sucking, and does not lead to you having any children. And so, in 50 years, couple of generations, all of those people entrenched in that culture now will not have passed their ideas along. So as long as you get your kids out of their institutions, that culture will die out.
It's never going to happen in the cities, dude. It's done.
How do you explain Giuliani, New York?
What do you mean?
When you could go to like Times Square at 3 a.m. and like walk around and not get robbed.
I don't know. In the Giuliani era?
Yeah. They always give them shit for the stop and frisk, and that's kind of a nuanced thing.
Have you ever watched Escape from New York or Escape from... have you watched either of the Snake Plissken movies?
Snake Plissken?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I will wager that in the next 25 to 35 years, okay, before we die...
It's going
to
be live action.
That's going to be live action New York. Not just New York. Chicago, parts of Los Angeles... It's going to be like that, bro.
There's a way to bring it back. I just think that people, it won't be able to stomach what that involves.
No, of course not. And they already tried to do it in Seattle, bro, with that whole fucking whatever the hell they
Chaz.
Call it. Yeah, Chaz. They tried to create Chaz, it. Look what happened, bro.
Yeah.
People got shot right away.
Right away they had armed guards.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Day one, hour one.
Yeah.
They took over corners with cement barriers and men with rifles.
Yes.
What years were Giuliani?
The 90s.
It was in the 90s.
So what happened, shortly after the 90s that might have drastically changed the culture of New York?
Yeah, 2001.
Yeah, but he wasn't mayor. Yeah, it was after 9/11, but I mean...
That wasn't it, though. That drastically... That had an effect on New York as far as the, we must never forget and shit, but...
That had a positive effect.
I think it... probably made people less trusting of their neighbors.
Sure. I don't think anybody ever really trusted their neighbors in New York. I mean, even since the 40s.
I think it ticked down and it started a spiral. Sure.
But I will say the 9/11 had a much bigger impact on federal policy than any state policy.
I'm not saying policy. Oh. I'm talking culturally.
Sure. Well, yeah, dude, there was a fucking 10-year period where any Sikh flying on an airplane with a fucking turban on his head had people scared to set by him. I mean, and it's I'm Indian, motherfucker. I'm not even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the truth, dude. And it did have a long-lasting impact on people. And, I won't say that it was designed to do so, but, I mean, there could be a case made that was part of the plan. You know what I mean? Because, listen, dude, there was a little bit of support for Iraq War One in 1989. There was a lot of support for Iraq War Two in 2004, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of support in the United States for war with basically any Middle Eastern country after 9/11. It didn't matter who it was.
Yes.
It didn't matter who it was. It could have been... Libya, it could have been Syria, it could have been Iraq, it could have been Afghanistan. It didn't matter to the American people. And the government proved to us that it didn't matter to us by going to war with Iraq. Because Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Zero to do. But all they had to do is, well, we know that Saddam's got weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we found enriched uranium, right?
Yeah, so it was something along those lines. And then it just became WMDs, and they didn't even say weapons anymore. They just said WMDs over and over and over and over and over again in the news. And the American people were like, yeah, hell yeah, bomb Iraq. You know what I mean? And they kind of just forgot that, like, hey, man, these guys were Pakistani nationals via Saudi Arabia or whatever the fuck that attacked. And we're at war in Afghanistan looking for some dudes living in caves that we don't even know if they exist. And we're in war in Iraq, and we're removing the leader of Libya, and we're fucking, you know what I mean? Like, and we're, Assad is gassing his own people now, and so we got to go to war in Syria. And it's like, dude, if you go back to 9/11, bro, you go back to when it happened. I was a little kid. I mean, not a little kid, 17 years old, right? But you go back to that time, there hadn't been any like real appetite for war, like from the American people, like as a consensus since like Vietnam, right?
The first thing I remember was the Gulf War. Early 90s, I was, what was that?
1989.
Yeah, that was middle
school. It was 89, 88, 89, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going into middle school, and I remember that, and like,
that was our first TV war, bro.
Yeah.
That was the first war we watched on TV.
We wrote letters to the troops and stuff, like, it was at school. Yeah. It was like,
oh, they ingrained it
part
in
of
head,
the
yeah.
culture they were teaching mm-hmm. you, you know? And, we all should be united.
But you gotta remember the U.S. and Britain have wanted to go to war with Iran since the 60s. Long time, right? I mean, 50s,
I just like the pictures 50s? From Iran, like back in the 70s when they were all cool.
Yeah.
They had like, dude, it looked like a Western country.
Well, no, that was the 50s. That was the 50s.
Yeah, well, 50s yeah. tilt to the 70s.
So the 50s, no, it was the 50s.
But it was the Shah, right?
So they had the Shah, and then there was the kind of a revolution, and they got their first democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh.
Not installed at all. Totally random.
No. Right? That was legit. He was legit. Yeah. And what he did was, okay, so Scott tells the story much better than I do, but what Mohammed Mossadegh did was he was like, all right, look, you guys have been just fucking taking our oil reserves, dude, like to Britain. And so he nationalized the oil industry and said, now you have to pay us. And then all of a sudden, there was a huge coup. Yep. He was taken out of power, and the Shah went right back into power. And the Shah, of course, was like, oh, yeah, take our gas. Fuck it.
Oh, my God. Nobody likes that guy.
But America and Britain have wanted to go to war with Iran for years and years and years, but they could never get the support from the American people because they are considered another, you know, nuclear program superpower, right? And so what's the best thing to do is destabilize every single country around Iran. Import as many fucking military bases as you possibly can and just keep all your missiles pointed at them.
We sell everybody weapons.
When we
sell all sides.
We
weapons.
Transited the straits into the Persian Gulf on my ship in the Navy. Bro, you could see Iran, right? Through the straits. And thousands of Scud missiles just pointed at you, dude, while you're transiting straits. It's scariest fucking time. Your butthole will be puckered the entire time. You're going through the straits, Hormuz or whatever.
So it's you're so close that if it goes off, you're just like, well,
But
here we go.
Think about this, dude. We've created that environment in Iran. We did that, dude. Us and Britain did that. And because we've fucking put military bases literally all around them. Now, when we talk about Russia and this Ukrainian thing going on, the same people who will say that...
That's totally different.
The same people who say that we've destabilized all of these countries around Iran and pushed Iran and put fingers in Iran's chest and created all this destabilization in the Middle East will say, no, nobody did that to Russia. No. Motherfucker, NATO's been doing that to Russia for 50 years.
50 years.
Easily. Yep. At least. So don't fucking tell me it's not the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. The only difference is Iran is a much smaller country compared to Russia, and Russia isn't going to fucking take it forever, dude. Iran's not going to take it forever. Eventually, there'll be a war with Iran, and America will get the war with Iran that they want. But until then, they're going to keep destabilizing all these nations around the Middle East and fucking with them, bro. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know how we got to that from Maj and Nina Turner, but we did.
9/11.
9/11. Yeah, it was your fault. You brought up 9. You said the magic words, dude.
Come on, man.
I did. Like, Lois in Family Guy running for office, just saying 9/11 and everybody goes nuts.
Yes, it's true. It's true. If Scott was here, he would have done an extra hour on that. Just by saying 9/11 easily. Scott's the easiest interview in this business, bro. Because you can literally say, Scott, tell me about Afghanistan, and then just mute yourself. for like 2 hours, dude. It's great. It's wonderful. It's the easiest interview in the business, bro. Absolutely.
And Maj and Jeremy, you can do the same.
Jeremy and Maj too. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. That's true. That's two of them. Oh, and Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center as well.
Oh,
you can say anything about the Constitution or during or nullification or sanctuary states or any of the founding fathers. He's like Dave Benner with the founding fathers too. He'll go on and on and on.
Let's
for
get
hours
him back on.
I once did a show with myself and Michael Bolden and Scott Ward together.
5-hour show.
I think we did do about 2.5 hours, and even Bolden was like, I think I didn't talk enough. I'm like, wow, dude. Jesus. I know Scott can go on and on and on, but it was really, really good. So dude, what's going on with Pence and Tucker Carlson?
Talk about it.
Tucker ended his entire career.
And I disagree. Well, I agree and disagree.
Do you think Mike Pence wants his career ended so he can go back to the gay bars in peace or what?
Oh, God.
Well, basically, everybody that Tucker interviewed, except for Vivek, just looked like an idiot when it came to Ukraine because they just all parroted the same neocon talking points. And there was something that was out of context that Mike Pence said. Basically, he, out of context, he says he doesn't care about the American cities, but in context, I don't care about the war in Ukraine all that much. That's not my priority. Even though he just spent like the last 2.5 minutes talking about, oh, we need to send more troops or we need to send tanks and cluster bombs and billions and billions and billions and billions of more dollars to Ukraine because it's the most important thing in the world right now and blah, 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 blah. And then Tucker goes, why are you so concerned about Ukraine, a place that most Americans can't point to on a map when every single American city has degraded in the past 3 years, and it's apparent. And he goes, well, I don't care about
that. Yeah,
that's
not my concern.
Yeah, that's not my
concern about the about America.
He said that's not my concern, and then he was like about Ukraine, but the clip gets cut off at that's not my concern.
Right. Everyone, listen, here's the highbrow thing is you're going to see the context. I mean, you do have to watch the clip a couple times.
Sure.
I had to watch it a couple times. The context is Ukraine's not his concern. He's concerned about the American people and blah blah blah. Dude, it was all talking points, right? But in context, he means Ukraine's not my concern. I'm more concerned about America. Let's bring jobs back, blah, 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 blah. But when you watch the clip, he doesn't tag it. He doesn't say, well, Ukraine's not my concern. It's not my number one concern. It's the first thing that Ukraine is. So anyway, all the Joe Blows are going to hear.
Oh, yeah.
America's not my concern.
Well, Jay Forte just said in the chat, we're not in context world now. It's
exactly.
Perfect for this political.
Exactly.
Perfect for the current political climate. And that's true. No one gives a fuck about
context. They're just getting you to say
anymore.
A clip and then go, oh, we can clip it here and here. And he says, he hates gay people. Let's do
it. Something that felt like the truth from a neocon for the first time. Where it's
I mean, let's be honest, dude.
That's not my concern,
hold on,
people. I just care about the military industrial.
Is there even any cognitive dissonant Republicans who actually truly in their heart believe that the Republicans don't want war over there either? There can't be.
There's not.
No, of course.
They're all in lockstep. When you ask about Ukraine, it's all one
it's
pattern answer.
It's all the same shit.
They're like, there's a 38 in my back right now.
Yes.
So Ukraine war is awesome. Let's do it.
Like
more money.
I have to believe that a lot of these politicians that tell you what you want to hear but then don't act on it. Like they know the person who's holding Jeffrey Epstein's file log, right? And know that at any point that one name could be released at a time, and that I have to believe that they're being held fucking
hostage. They probably all know a thread. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of them know a thread that if they pulled it, the whole thing would fucking unravel. And they're like, I talk about the thread.
There's very few even Republicans that I can point out as actually saying, no, we shouldn't be helping this war with Ukraine and Russia. That's Massey, maybe Rand Paul.
Yeah, who is going to say that?
Somewhere. But as far as Congress and Senate goes, I mean, there isn't any problem.
This is mostly about selling our older weapons for a premium price.
Exactly, dude.
No one's going
to
say that.
Everybody wants a Savasta, dude. You know what I'm saying, bro? I know it. I know that's what's going on right now.
We got cluster bombs. We got cluster bombs on clearance.
Hey,
let's do it.
We got some underwater mines left, and I know you know the Russians got submarines.
Load those
dude.
Planes up. Let's
if we were actually selling them and not just like donating them.
Well,
I
air
could
quotes,
maybe
selling.
I could maybe respect.
You don't think
it.
We're actually just donating them, do you?
Oh, well, we're laundering a shit ton of money to them,
that
money is negative on the pocketbook of the American government.
I want to remind you that Sam Fried is still not in jail because
Who's
he
was
laundering
money,
from fucking Ukraine to the fucking Democrats and Republicans, bro. We know this. We know this. It's been almost proven. Like, there's like 99% proven.
The American people are essentially donating it.
Wow. His middle name is Bankman, bro. Come on, dude. Yeah.
Well, they're
just like, I'm donating my taxes.
They're footing the bill, and then
what bill? They foot shit.
The tax, the debt. They're footing the debt.
We're paying for it, dude. That's what I'm trying to say. We're paying for it. They're shipping weapons to Ukraine. Okay, and some
getting a bill
fucking
of
weird fro head. Weirdo autistic kid is taking all the money and cleaning it and giving it back to the Democrats and Republicans. Our fucking money.
Yes.
Okay. That's what's going on right now. It's what's been going on. And he got caught doing it. Billions of dollars. He got caught doing it. And he's still not in jail.
I know.
I'm just saying, dude.
There's pending charges. They didn't dismiss all the charges. They dismissed like, what was it, six?
How does money laundering work, AJ? I don't think that Ryan understands how money laundering works. Listen, money laundering is the process by which somebody gives their money to somebody for a product, right? But that product's not really worth that money, right?
Yes.
And then they take the money, they wash it, they put it through some different avenues, and they fucking buy a couple things with it and get their money back, and then it's all clean money going back to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like going through the washing machine. Ukraine's not paying for shit. They're not paying for fucking nothing. They're a giant laundering business.
Javelin launcher is $1 million.
That's exactly what I was saying. I was saying Ukraine isn't paying for shit.
No.
If they were, and it was going to like pay off our trillions of dollars of debt, it might actually be kind of savvy. But no, our politicians are corrupt jackasses.
They're pocketing it, dude.
Yes.
Look. A politician is the
they
only
could
job.
Just destroy all the
listen,
weapons, dude.
Listen,
they could just
listen. AOC,
them.
AOC, beat fucking people's doors down in her district in New York, dude, to become a congressperson, right? Wore the famous wore holes in her shoes, right? She was a fucking bartender
and barely won, by the way.
Yeah, she was a bartender who went to school for economics, right? I always want to laugh at people who go to school for economics and don't have a professor like fucking Walter Block. But anyways, so she beat doors down. She was poor, fresh out of college, bartender, didn't have much money. Used what little money she had to help put up signs and stuff. Got in the car. She's a fucking millionaire.
She
now,
was
dude.
Wait, hang on. She was straight out of the Bronx, man.
Straight out of the Bronx, bro.
Oh yeah, hard scrabble.
Straight out of the Bronx, dude.
I don't believe that. No, I think she was actually from a different. She grew up in a different neighborhood, by the way. I don't think she was actually from
there. I'm sure
anyway,
she's not from the Bronx. Anyways,
yeah.
None of these people actually live their truth, dog. But here's the thing. Now she's a big-time millionaire, bro. $10, $20, $30 million.
Okay? Yeah.
Politician's the only job you can go from being absolutely fucking broke and in less than 4 years be a huge millionaire, yeah. Even though the job only pays $185,000 a year.
She's cruising around in her Tesla.
The job pays maybe it's $220,000 a year. For Congress, 400.
Oh, I don't. Is it?
It might be. President. I know president is 400,000 a year.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Senate. Maybe Senate's 220 and Congress is 180. So $180,000 a year over 4 years, assuming you don't have any bills, is not even $1 million. Okay. This woman's got $20 million in her bank. Where do you think that fucking money is coming from? It's not from interviews, dog. Okay. People are paying her to do their bidding.
Handshakes.
Yeah. People are paying her to do their fucking bidding. And that's why the squad talks all this shit about all the things they want to do for all these people out there, but they never fucking do it, right? There's still no free healthcare. There's still no free college. There's still no, you know what I mean? That's all the shit they ran on, though. They were going to get it. They were going to get it done. And squad was going to get it done, but they can't get it done. Why? Because it's not about the people that they ran to represent anymore. They don't give a fuck. This is why I hate politics, bro. This is why I had to leave politics. Because everybody, I even had to do it at some points in my fucking life to get elected, dude. It was like, you have to say the right things at all the fucking right times. And if you don't, then these dumb fucks out here that vote aren't going to vote for you. They'll only vote for you if you promise them things. Even if you don't deliver those things, that's the only way they're going to vote for you. Right?
Correct.
And motherfuckers, you guys should use me as an example, dude. Because I was a fucking national leader for the Libertarian Party for 5 years. National leader. And I did not accomplish 50% of the shit that I said I wanted to do. Now, I'll tell you, the people that I worked with made it very fucking hard. And there were times that I really did try. But there were other times where I was like, it's fucking losing venture. I'm never going to be able to do this shit because these people are fucking idiots. Idiots, dude. And that's including people on my side. Hmm? Not just the other people. It was a lot of people.
It's a brutal lesson. That's a brutal lesson.
And it was funny because I'll tell you, when I first ran for chair in 2018, okay, I knew nothing. Fucking nothing. I had no idea what I was doing. But I wrote out a map and a blueprint and a platform and said, this is how we're going to do it. This is how it's going to get done, right? And everybody that had been doing this shit for a long time was telling me, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no clue what you're talking about. You've never done this before. You're green behind the ears. You don't know what you're doing. And I was like, yeah, I know more than you do, right? And then I became an at-large for 2 years. And then I became at-large for another 2 years. Then I ran for vice chair, right? And by the time I was running for vice chair, I was seeing people run for positions on the board, on the national committee, who had never done shit with the party. And winning. And I remember going, fuck, dude, all those assholes who were telling me in the beginning that I had no idea what I was talking about were right, dude. They're right. And now I'm watching the cycle continue after me, right? And so I got on a board with all these people who had never done a fucking national leadership. Nobody. Almost nobody. There was very few people that returned to that board. Very few. Besides me and Karen Ann Harlow's. None of them knew what the fuck they were doing, dude.
Is it better to have, especially in the Libertarian Party, does it almost feel better to have reluctant leaders sometimes?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely, dude. The people vying for those positions have no idea what they're doing.
It's
bro.
Yeah. Like wait a minute. You what?
And this is the double-edged sword with the LP, dude. It's like, yes, we need that fucking like fire and zest and they need, not we. I'm not in the LP anymore. But they need that fire and zest and that philosophical drive to change policy, right? But man, you need the institutional knowledge of the fucking institution too, bro.
Yeah.
You lose all the institutional knowledge and you lose all the good people that have been a part of that institutional knowledge, like Robert Krauss, dude. Walking out the door, bro, that's fucking years and years and years of processes and staff processes and fucking payment processes and vendor processes and just everything that's gone on in the party, he's watched and he knew, and he didn't get treated right, so he walked out the fucking door, dude, and took with him a brain full of institutional knowledge that helped keep the party afloat even when it was run by shitty leaders. And so it was hard to watch, dude, because I was getting told those things in 2017, and then I'm watching it as somebody with more institutional knowledge in 2020, 2022, going, fuck, dude, they're right. Bill Redpath was right, right? Like, these guys were right. And it was hard. It was hard to stomach, man. It really did suck. But I'm done now. If I'm going to involve myself in politics at all, it's going to be at the state and county and city level. And that's it. That's it, dude. I'm done with all that.
That's great.
You are welcome to be involved at the county
probably
level.
Probably as a Republican, bro. So. Sorry, dude.
No. Oh, we were that close.
You were that close.
I'd like to win, dog.
People.
You know what I mean? No,
you're
I know.
Just
local
run
level.
Third party. Yeah. Don't run LP. Run third party.
Yeah. No.
Run the.
No, I'm just gonna run as a Republican where I belong, bro.
I mean, I do know people.
Listen. There's a lot of talk about I'm not a Republican right now. I'm still registered Libertarian voter, and I probably, if I had to run, I'd run as a Libertarian right now. But I will say this. I will say this, bro. There's a lot of talk in liberty circles and Republican circles about, oh, we can join the Republican Party and make it more liberty-based, right? Liberty-oriented. And I think that for 80% of the states, that's a pipe dream. That'll never happen, ever. I do believe that there's a possibility of that happening in a state like Iowa. I do. Iowa, Nebraska... Maybe,
and I can tell you,
maybe places like New Hampshire, places like Rhode Island, even maybe, you know what I mean? I think that you could make those state Republican parties libertarian. I do. I believe that. But I don't know. This is just me talking shit. I haven't planned on even running right now.
We do have a good relationship with the Republic at the local level.
Yeah. And I do too. I got a good relationship with Republicans all across the fucking state capitol right now. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. quite a few of them.
Yeah.
The that I've personally cool. I've hung out with. I've gone to their fundraisers. They've come to my house for dinner. Like you know what I mean? Like there's some good, there are some good Republican legislators in Iowa, and that's the reason why Iowa is the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Shipley might be the best state rep in
he's definitely there. And I think that as far as state senators go, we had Senator Carlin was fucking amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, Jeff Carlin is a medical malpractice lawyer, and also went to med school or something like that. Some crazy thing like that, but he's super liberty oriented. He was really big on the medical freedom shit when COVID stuff started coming knocking, and they really rallied the whole legislature. And because of what those guys did, when it came time to send people to Washington, the state of Iowa didn't send a single Democrat to Washington.
True.
And there's a reason why we have a lot of the freedoms we have here, as far as, you know, not going to jail for exercising your rights. Of course, we're still really dumb on marijuana.
I was just going to say that. Like,
we're really dumb on marijuana.
So guess what Kim Reynolds just did? Guess what she just signed on her desk instead of legalizing cannabis?
What?
Well, there's an injunction now with the abortion bill. It's 6 weeks. 6 week limit. So she signed it into law. What day was it? Was it? The injunction was right away.
Yeah.
It was the.
My homies, I do need to address something in the chat. My homies from Rise to Liberty podcast said, at this point, I'm not convinced there is any political solution. Also, I voted for you in Reno. I stand by it. No regrets. I have not ever, I don't think I've ever taken the time to apologize to all the people who showed up to Reno to vote for me. And I would like to take a moment to apologize to those people if I could.
Let's do it.
Fuck, dude. It was an emotional, brutal process to get to Reno for me. And a lot of the newer guys don't understand what I went through to get there. And a lot of the guys that have been around for a long time did. But they're probably even the ones that are more hurt by it because they waded through all that shit with me. But I do want to apologize to anybody who came to Reno to vote for me. I cracked, bro. I couldn't do it anymore. I watched my own people start playing backroom politic bullshit. And, I put way too much, I invested way too much time and energy and lost time jobs and places to live and time with my family to watch my own people do the same shit that I had fought against for almost 6 years, bro. And so that's why I had to leave. And I've talked about it on the show quite a bit. But I do want you guys to know that voted for me and that it supported me and were there for me. I apologize for wasting your time. Truly, I do apologize for that. I think that you're great people, and I think that if you do believe there's some political solution or that the LP is still the vehicle to do that, then I believe that you should, with all your might, continue to do those things. I'm not telling you not to. I'm not telling you not to be part of the Mises Caucus. I think the Mises Caucus guys are great. I love Michael Heiss. He's a good friend of mine. He's been my good friend. He's like a brother to me for a long time. We had a little bit of a falling out going into the 2022 shit. But it doesn't change my feelings about him as a person, you know? And I think that he's still got that Ron Paul drive behind him. And I hope that they pick up what they have and start doing the things that we said we were going to do 6 years ago. That's all I'm going to say. But to the people who voted for me and supported me and made sure I showed up to state convention and stuff, I do apologize. I do, truly. So there's my apology. I love you guys.
My only expectation from
you didn't even show up to Reno, dude. So fuck off, bro.
I don't even. I don't, well, like, what the Mises Caucus got me into the LP, and you know, it's gotten me involved locally, mostly because of you,
right?
But like the only expectation I really had after like Reno was that we would have a good messenger running for president on the LP ticket, and I'm.
Sounds like Dave's,
skeptical that
sounds like Dave's not going to do it now.
Yeah,
which is funny. I think he's on.
Isn't that weird?
He's on the PBD podcast tonight. Apparently, we are competing with Dave Smith on PBD,
and we're doing
tonight.
Well.
No problem.
We're doing all right. Yeah,
we got an active chat. Thank you guys
for
hanging out.
We like when you do the chat because it does help the algorithm. It really helps when you guys thumbs up the videos.
and watch the YouTube videos and share the link. It really helps us a lot. We'd appreciate it. I don't talk about you guys. I don't ever tell everybody on the show to like hit the thumbs up and go and share the link and stuff. I would really appreciate it if you guys would start doing that. But yeah, we're doing all right. But I think that from what I understand, Dave, a lot of people think Dave was going on there tonight to announce that he's not running for president.
I get the impression that he was waiting until after his stand-up special was recorded to finalize his decision, which was like a week ago, and then it sounds like he's not going to do it. I think in part because his stand-up and everything else is going so well for him.
Yeah,
I need answers.
Well, and so that leaves the vacuum, right? Like, because the Mises guys were fully ready to support Dave Smith for president, right? So, who does the caucus go support after that? And in my opinion, it should be Spike Cohen, probably.
Yeah, Spike would probably be next best, but he's not the same level of communicator as Dave.
I think he's as good as Dave at communicating.
The theme has become ungovernable.
Huh?
Yeah.
The theme for national LP has
become ungovernable.
Become ungovernable.
Right. Yes. Which was a big Spike Cohen thing. Mm-hmm. Anyways. And I'll say Spike, I've watched Spike evolve. Okay. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show. So when I was running for chair the first couple of times, Spike has the Muddy Waters of Freedom podcast. And Ryan Wright, his co-host, were like really good friends of mine. We talked all the time. They brought me on the show several times. Their show was very small. They had no following. They did pretty well. They had like a little network and some other, but they didn't have a big following or anything. I just remember like before the show, Spike has like anxiety. He'd be having like anxiety trying to get everything set up, and he was all like nervous and like,
yep.
And then I saw him giving a speech for vice president, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy, dude? Like, cause this is not the Spike Cohen that I know. Right. And I've watched him evolve so much over the last 6 years, dude, that he's become one of my genuinely favorite orators. I do think that sometimes he takes on pet projects too much and gets down in the mud with like police departments and shit, which is good for the local communities. Don't get me wrong. Yep. I love that he does that, bro. He's savage, dude, when it comes to calling out police and stuff like that.
I think he gets good content off that. I'm not saying that's why he does it. I'm saying
when he stands up on a stage in front of hundreds and thousands of people, dude, and gives a speech and talks about how important these ideals are, dude, he's really good.
Very compelling speaker.
Very compelling. Very likable. I think he'd be good for the LP as the presidential. I would vote for Spike Cohen, dude. There's no doubt.
100%.
And I'm at the point now where I'm like, fuck, voting it sucks, right? But I would vote for Spike Cohen, dude. I would. And I think that's a good move to get around the country. Now, if Dave's not going to do it, right? I would have been 100% on board with Dave for sure. So,
can I address the guy that said there's no political solution in the chat? This is a common theme, right? You get your black pillars in there. And while I completely respect his or her opinion, not sure who that was, a pattern that I've noticed is that people that say there's no political solution don't really have the means to do the non-political solution. But the people that say there's a political solution are the ones that probably could carry out something.
Well, I don't think he's saying that there is no political solution. I think he's saying he doesn't know if there is.
Right.
And I don't either.
I just think we should be careful about that.
But like, I really don't. I really believe that I don't know that there is a political solution anymore, though.
No, even if there's not.
I think we're living in the capital of the fucking Hunger Games, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
What I'm trying to say is I think sometimes that idea is romanticized. Oh, there's no political solution. We've got to go full Wolverine on this, and we're going to...
Right.
I think I'm guilty of that, too, sometimes. That is the ugliest, fucking darkest thing.
Oh, it's going to be horrendous.
That is the darkest solution.
And I think that the people that are truly understanding and willing to take the non-political routes. I think that they understand how dark it is.
Yeah,
I
do. Can we agree that's the last thing we should do, guys?
Yeah, it's gonna be an ugly, dark, scary time for
years. I know it's a controversial take now in 2023, but...
And we're kind of careening towards it because a couple of things that predict it pretty well.
Yeah, man. We're all parents here.
And well, one of the fathers. Big predictors of some sort of social uprising is a dramatic increase in the number of sexless young men. And we've had that rate double in like the past 3 years or something.
Yeah, the more Michael Douglases from falling down we get, the closer we
I know.
Dude.
And young men without purpose or hope.
Yeah.
Like without direction and without sex. They tend to turn to violence.
You are not helping my point, Ryan.
Well, and
I wish you. I could help your point, but
I don't think
that
it's
would
just,
be lying.
Listen, I think you're putting too much
you
of an emphasis. I think you're putting too much of an emphasis on sexless too. I don't think that that's just the only problem. And I this is why I think as much as I dislike a lot of the shit that Jordan Peterson has been putting out over the last year, I think that's why his 12 rules are so important. Because it's not just about sex. It's about all this shit, right? Like, it's the whole gambit of things for young men. And that's one of the things that's so important for me to impress upon my sons is that, you know, to be good, to help to change society, you need to be a good person, right? And I talk to my oldest son about this a lot, how important integrity is. Right, it's like one of the most important things a man has in his life is integrity, and integrity. And he's like, "Well, what can you explain integrity to me?" I said, "Yeah, it's doing the right thing when you know nobody's watching you. That's the most important part of integrity. Is that when mom and dad turn their heads, and your teacher turns your heads, and you're hanging with your boys, you're still doing the right things, even though it's not earning you any points with anybody, except yourself and your God, right?" That's the most important thing that a man has is integrity, right? When, you know, this.
That's the manliest thing. I agree.
Yeah. It's like doing
your word.
It's your word, but it's more than that. It's doing the right thing when you know that you could be doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right. I could do the wrong thing here and no one's going to find out, but I'm not going to because I have integrity because I'm a good person and I want to do the right things. The more we impress upon our children that value, the better the next society will be after we're gone. 100%. And I think that JP had a lot to say on the ways to get there, right? Especially with 12 rules. I think especially
you've got to be a dangerous man.
Yes.
But have it under control.
Right.
Yes.
It's true.
Unironically that.
It's true. It's true. It's true. Yeah. Be a dangerous man, but control. And have integrity. I mean, that's really, you know, if I was going around the country talking to broken young men, my first thing, because I'm a broken young man too, well, old man now, but I was a broken young man. I was. And there was a lot of times in my life where I didn't do the right thing because I thought no one was watching, right? And it always made my life worse. And it always made the community around me worse. And it always made the people that were with me's lives worse, right? And it's a ripple effect, right? It's this giant fucking ripple effect from one person. So teaching your kids that integrity is important, that it matters, is the most important thing you can do as a parent, in my opinion. Of course, you know, you don't want your kids to die and you want to feed them and all that good stuff too, right? But
it's one of the most important things you can do as a father.
Listen, dude, we have relinquished so much of our control of our children as a society to the government and schooling and babysitters and fuck all the shit, right? It's like, dude, you got to take back some of that control, and you're the one. We need to remind ourselves as a society that the parents are the ones who are in charge of instilling values and morals into our children, not the teachers, not the government, not the fucking health care people. None of these people are the people that are in charge of instilling those values into your children. It's you. It's you as a parent. And
they've proven their incompetence.
Yes.
They have proven their incompetence.
Yes.
And one of the best ways to do that as a parent is to live it yourself. Because if you genuinely live your values and you live, it results in a good life, your kids are more likely to repeat that.
Right. Yeah. The example, setting the example is very important. It really is.
That's the hardest part.
It is the hardest part, dude. But I think I like to believe that I've gotten to, despite all my woes and my, you know the saying, God bless the broken road, right? That led me here, right? I think that God has been very good for me, and my finding my faith again has been very good for me over the last several years. Obviously, it's led me to this wonderful family that I get to be a part of every day. As hard as that is, it's taught me to be a better man. It's taught me to have way more integrity and always do the right things, because at any time I could fuck up and it would fuck up the lives of some beautiful little kids, right? So it took me a long time to get to where I am now, but I can honestly say that I'm living the example for my children, right? And I think that that's a good thing. And I think that more men, even if you aren't doing it now, stop what you're doing and start doing it, because you can, you know, I don't know. Or you can go pick crops with Nina Turner. I don't give a shit. You know?
Yeah. And you don't have to be a rock star. Good point. You don't have to be a rock star. You can just have a regular 9-to-5 and, be a regular dude.
Yeah.
You don't have to have an awesome Instagram life.
Right.
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 Be a success.
Wait, do normal people want that?
Listen, dude. I do.
It's played out. It's played out. It's that you have to be better than everybody. It has to be perfect. You have to have this. You got to have this kind of car. Like,
bro, I drive a Dodge Caravan GT, dog. But it's a GT. It's got the leather seats with the red stitching. Got a couple holes in them now, but you know.
I just think being part of growing up, becoming an adult and as a parent, is having expectations, realistic expectations. Right. For your goals, so that it's something achievable and you can
every
day to day going.
Family's goal should be buying the farm. That's it, in
yeah,
my opinion.
Absolutely,
find yourself
a nice patch of land,
a minimum of 1 acre, and a nice little house that can support your family, and get the fuck away from the cities, dude. That's my biggest advice.
I'm there.
Honestly, where I think I've been the most radicalized over the last 10 years or so. 10 years ago, you couldn't have convinced me that a life on a farm, or, you know, more rural, rustic lifestyle like that would be attractive to me in the slightest. I would have viewed it as irrational and repugnant.
That's one of the gayest things I've ever heard in my life, by the way. But go ahead.
But I've evolved to the point where I'd see the merit in it quite a bit, and it's kind of looking pretty good to me.
I will say, dude, you know, I do a podcast, right? Obviously we do a show. I have to grow a platform if I ever want the podcast to be bigger than it is. You know, a lot of people give podcasters grief, oh, you're a fucking podcaster. It's like, no, dude, I work a fucking full-time job, maybe two soon. I raise kids. I have a family. I do all the things that you do too, but I also do a show on top of it. It's not my entire identity, but it does mean a lot to me to be able to have this platform and use it the way we do and bring on great guests and stuff like that. So yeah, I want to grow it. Of course I want to grow it. And of course I want it to be a fucking financially lucrative.
Yeah.
You'd have to be a fucking retard to not want your show that you put all this money and time and effort into to not give something back. Right. You know, so yeah, I want to grow all that stuff, but I also want, 71 acres and my own shooting range and you know, a dirt track and maybe a pond to fish in and all that shit too. You know what I mean? Where it's just away from everybody, and that's the good thing about the internet, right? And the computer is that you could do that and still live in the middle of fucking nowhere. So I don't know. It's a weird double-edged sword, right?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, we're getting to the end of this thing, guys. I appreciate you hanging out with us. Ryan, you got anything before we take off?
Follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28. Like, comment, subscribe, do all of that good stuff. Share it with your friends. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Threads.
Get out of here with that bullshit, dude. I will say this. We were supposed to have a guest tonight. We were supposed to have Jared Howe. He's a big Hoppian, and a lot of people call him a white nationalist or whatever he may be.
Oh, yeah.
He did a show with Chris Cantwell for some time, and yeah, me and him had gone back and forth several years ago, but now I feel like I align with him a lot more shit than I used to, especially the Hoppian stuff. He was supposed to come on tonight, but he's having a baby, and they were having some premature issues. So I want to send some prayers out to that guy. I hope he's doing okay. We will bring him back on the show.
Oh yeah,
one of the next Thursdays. I've been listening to his show. His show is fucking pretty bass, dude. It's pretty dope. So he should be coming on one of these Thursdays. We'll definitely have a guest next Thursday. AJ, you got anything before you come? You go.
You know what, guys? Take some time off from your electronic devices this week. Take a couple days and tune out. Not from our show. Tune in and watch our show.
Yeah, tune in or watch our show. Don't you dare tell people to tune
out,
bro.
Just turn your notifications off and touch some grass.
Somewhere between Friday and Wednesday. Turn off your device.
Yeah.
You do that shit on the weekend, man.
Go touch some grass. Camping. Go book a camping.
Shoot at some Chinese spy balloons.
Shoot at some Chinese spy balloons. Yeah. Go build a rifle with your kids. Yeah. If you don't have one, if you don't have a like an AR-15, go build an AR-15.
Go to one of these meditation chambers, the water pods.
Go to a float tank.
Yeah, float tank. Do something nice for yourself.
Just kind of think about a possible nuclear war and what you would do.
Way to fuck it up, AJ. God damn, dude. Thanks, AJ. Appreciate you. Guys, yeah. I love you to death. You know where to find us. If you don't like watching us on YouTube, you can always listen to us on all the podcast catchers. I get them uploaded eventually. Unfortunately, I did not record the stream tonight, so I won't be able to upload it immediately like I did last
time. Except for this one.
I fucked it up, dude, but I will. I promise you that the next week I will make sure that I will have it posted on the wall to hit record before I start the show so that we will be able to get them uploaded right away again.
What? Super chats? Did we get all the super chats?
Did we miss?
I think there was a couple maybe that we missed.
No, we didn't miss the super chat, did we? Oh, dude, JC sent us a $10 super chat, man. Hey, he says, just good to see y'all again. Nah, bro.
Good to see you, dude.
We appreciate you. I think that's the only one we missed. We only had two tonight. We did get some players been a member for 23 months, so almost that's pretty much the entire life of the show. And he said whatever that is. And of course, Level Zero used his member for 21 months to say, yep, caucus. So that was cool.
The Rise to Liberty podcast did respond to the comments we were having about political.
Oh.
I saw that. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. Based. It was a good response.
Based responses.
Okay. All right. Well, I love you guys to death. I'll see you on next Thursday. We'll have a guest to hang out with you and us, and it'll be fun. And hopefully at one of these points, I'll be able to finally get our mic issues fixed. I don't know. Someday. But until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain, but I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. What Timber is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you know it. The product is getting close to COVID. Holy shit.